that I make sure that I'm always, you know, typically hanging around people that are pretty driven, you know, healthy, you know, like to enjoy life.
This is Property Investory, where we talk to successful property investors to find out more about their stories, mindset, and strategies. In this episode, we're speaking with international property investor Sam O'Connor. After having lived and invested in New Zealand for most of his life, O'Connor is expanding his multi-million dollar portfolio over here in Australia. Tune in to hear about his strategies, how he sources his mentors, and the best advice he can give to others on his journey. O'Connor discusses how he was motivated to grow his portfolio and implement his equity building strategies.
As you know, the first property is typically always the hardest, and then it slightly gets easier and easier as time goes on. You know, one of the biggest hurdles of the last couple of years has always been finance. So it has grown on itself. I've certainly become a lot more ambitious, mainly because I now know what's possible. The more I've done research and looked at other people, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, I would have thought 100 properties was a lot. Now you read about people, the founder of Meriton who holds around 5,000 properties. You've got Nathan Birch, who has about 200 or 250 properties, and he's only about 32 years old. So, the goals have sort of risen as I've known, you know, what's possible. And I certainly think, you know, reading biographies and reading stories of other successful investors and business people can certainly make you more driven or make you know that, you know, you can really think quite big. And that's something that, we've really started to do in the last few years. And that certainly helped grow the portfolio.
O'Connor bought his first property entirely in his own name in Sydney just recently.
A two-bedroom apartment, about 13K from the CBD in a suburb called Bexley. So it had two garages, two bedrooms, one bathroom. And the market is obviously a bit softer in Sydney. So, there is a lot more availability. We saw this property. It ticked all the boxes. In terms of, distance to the CBD, transport, schooling, and also the property itself. It was, in a block of about 30 units. The property was about 50 to 60 years old, so it was proven that, you know, it wasn't cracking or leaking. And we got that for $499,000. That was purchased in my own personal name. And the reason for that is, the Australian banks and New Zealand banks don't actually allow you to use equity in each other's countries relatively easy. There are some second-tier finance companies, I believe, that may do so, but the main banks don't. And that's why I've had to purchase that in my own personal name rather than through the trust.
He plans to spend more time to invest and grow his portfolio here in Australia.
I'm spending time now, and now that I've purchased this one, I'm going to spend a lot more time in Australia to grow the portfolio in Australia. So it's only one in Australia, we've got about 46 in New Zealand. But I still spend a lot of time. You know, the good thing with, having a bit of a team is working from online. So as long as I've sort of got an internet connection, I can basically work from anywhere.
The lending issues across Australia and New Zealand can cause him a bit of a problem.
One of the biggest issues with the banks is in the moment in Australia, of course, is that they are wanting, regular income in New Zealand. Regular income in Australia. So it's building that, that banking history in Australia because New Zealand, because they don't have any control over, any legal control over anything in New Zealand, it's hard for them to be as happy to lend as they are. So I'm just taking things as they come. I mean, I've had the Royal Commission just come out a couple of days ago. So it's just seeing what the financing landscape happens in the next few months.
O'Connor is enjoying that his investment journey can take him anywhere.
I'm a fan of travel. I'm planning to go to Europe in June for some time, and so like I said, I'm not fixed to an address. I do love Sydney, but one of the joys of property investment is that it does allow you, if you've got passive income, to be able to travel and move around and not be locked into one place. Certainly for myself, it's easier because I don't have children or any massive commitments in that sense. And, you know, that's one of the big reasons why I a lot of my friends that I talk to is, why I push them towards property investment, because, in the medium to long run, if you invest wisely, it will generate a passive income where, you have freedom of choice of, where you live and what you do.
O'Connor shares with us the details of his current investment portfolio.
Portfolio New Zealand, which is a family trust. So it's myself and the family that are involved. You know, it's grown now to around about 10 million in value. It can be very hard to decide because the markets do go up and down. But so it's sitting around the $10 million mark, about 46 properties in total, generating around 400,000 a year in gross income.
Despite the gross income, the net income can fluctuate due to reinvestment.
The great thing about when you get to that size portfolio is when you do a $10 rent increase per year, which doesn't sound much, all of a sudden it's $20,000 a pop, so if you can do two or three of those a year, then it certainly helps really supercharge your income. So the total portfolio is probably around the $10 million mark. I mean, it's hard to be certain because the markets, it does change unless you're getting valuations every 6 months or a year, you can be slightly off, but that's probably where it sits. In terms of total cash flow, I'd be bringing in around about $400,000 a year and gross income. And I mean, in terms of the net income, that varies a lot. I mean, and the reason for that is because we reinvest a lot of the profits back in to the trust. Whether that's creating more bedrooms, might be subdividing off a section, a bit of land that's not required. Just last year we decided to do a whole lot of new roofs, even though they didn't necessarily had to be done. They probably could, some of them could have got another 5 years out of them. We just decided to do a whole lot of them for peace of mind for the next 50 to 100 years. We know that we're not going to have to touch them again.
He describes the difference between the markets in New Zealand versus Australia.
It's certainly caught up to Australia. So there is a lot of homes with 600 to a million. What we've found is to get the yield, to make them so basically the cash flow positive, is to have to buy blocks of units. And hence why the value of each unit is only, like you stated, probably $200,000 to $400,000 a unit. For investors in Australia that are looking at New Zealand, it's certainly not as good as it used to be. There is still some good buying opportunities there. But unless you're buying blocks of units or you're creating bedrooms to existing, single dwelling properties, it is very, very hard to get cash flow unless you are willing to take that risk of investing outside of the main city.
Another difference between Australia and New Zealand investment is the required deposit size.
There's a lot more management, then you've got a lot more repairs. Certainly the market between New Zealand and Australia is they are, in terms of the actual investment cycles and the operations and the legislation, the laws and property management and how the banks works, very, very similar. Australia is very lucky where as an investor or a home buyer, you only need, in New Zealand, you need by law, you need a 40% deposit. So if you're an investor, you by law, the government's made a law, you need a 40% deposit. Well, in Australia, you might get away with 10 or 20 or maybe 30%. So certainly to purchase a property in Australia compared to New Zealand is a lot easier due to needing a lower deposit. And the other big plus, of course, is that interest rates in Australia are a lot lower. Obviously interest rates are not going to stay low forever, but that certainly helps in being able to finance loans and mortgages. I was quite baffled when I first came to Australia and I heard you could buy a property on a 10% deposit. And, I don't think you have to be an extremely high income earner to be able to save, you know, I got that one in Sydney last week for $4.99. So if you're able to save 10 cents, 50,000, I don't think, you know, I think your average worker, if they're saving well and, you know, not buying new cars and eating out all the time and that type of thing, you know, to save 50,000, I think is achievable.
Jumping more into O'Connor's mindset, he shares why he believes in property investment.
One of my biggest why I believe in property investment, as an investment vehicle, is leverage. So, you know, you are quite often using the bank's money. And, you know, I read these stories in the media where they say, shares are up 20% for the year and property is only up 10%. But if you actually look at the amount of capital you put into property and your return on capital, quite often that return is a lot higher. And you know if you want to invest in shares and different investments, you quite often have to use your own money. With property, you can leverage, and it just supercharges your wealth in the medium to long term. And the other thing is, I think, you know, with property, is it doesn't go up and down overnight. I think for peace of mind for a lot of people is, you know, if you're buying a two-bedroom apartment, you know, 15K from, you know, Melbourne or Sydney, then I think most people know deep down in the medium to long term that it is going to be a good investment. Yeah, and for some periods it is going to drop in price, but, you know, it's only a loss if you sell. So I think in the medium to long term, it's almost guaranteed, you know, to increase in value if you remain patient.
With this in mind, he believes falling house prices shouldn't be so scary to past purchases.
I always say, look, property prices, and, you know, they do fall. And one worry for people is, you know, property prices fall, I'm going to make a loss. But, you know, as long as you keep paying your mortgage on time, the banks, you know, they, if your property's worth less than you've paid for it, well, first of all, it can be very hard to prove, but even if it was to be proven, as long as you keep paying your mortgage, usually the banks are reasonably happy to see that through. And properties do go in cycles, and the times when the market's quiet, when naturally people are scared, is a great time to be buying.
In fact, it's a great opportunity for many to purchase property.
I think, you know, the supply on the market of property in a lot of the main cities in Australia is, you know, some of the highest it's been in years. There's not as many people looking to buy. You know, you've got, if you're a first home buyer, then, you know, you've got your first home buyer stamp duty exemptions. So to get into the market right now, and of course interest rates are still very low, you know, personally, I think it's a great time. But you just need to be patient where, yeah, you might not see any growth anywhere from 1 to 7 years. You know, it may for the next 7 to 10 years may not increase in value at all. And it's very hard to determine what the value will be. But I think if you're in the long-term game, you'll certainly do well.
In a similar vein, O'Connor recognises how high prices can affect a purchaser.
I think knowledge is always the big one. I think a lot of people think that to buy an investment property or your own property is a massive commitment, and it is a commitment. I mean, you are in a legal contract with a lender, but what you need to remember is, the most very common now is where, you know, you rent in a suburb you want to live, but you buy an investment property that just purely for investment purposes. So some people think, I'm never going to be able to buy because I can't afford, you know, a million dollar property, because in the suburbs they want to live, that's what it costs. Well, I've always of the thought, well, look, you can still rent and buy an investment property, you know, in an area that you don't want to live, but that still shows good long-term growth.
In fact, renting in a desired suburb could be a better move strategically, as it is cheaper than paying a mortgage in your area.
Quite often, you know, a lot of the desirable suburbs, so I'm living out in Bondi Beach, Sydney, which is considered, you know, quite an expensive area. And the issue is, if you do buy your own property here, but you decide to leave and to rent it out, you know, it's very, very unlikely that the rent you will receive will be able to pay for the mortgage. So You know, I think it's becoming more and more popular for savvy investors to realize that you can still live in a very nice area, a very nice home, but you don't necessarily have to own it.
Coming up after the break, learn about mentors O'Connor reached out to.
You know, I'd look up every single person that was on the rich list due to property, you know, Google their name, look up, you know, interviews they've done and their background.
Some of the best advice he's ever received.
I think number one is being ethical and honest. You know, the world's a very small place now.
Some of his predictions for the future of investment.
I think there could be some potential where, you know, there may be a lot of office conversions into residential apartments or accommodation living.
All that and much more after the break. I'm Tyrone Shum and you're listening to Property Invest Story. O'Connor shares some of the mentors he used to gain insight into successful investment, mainly looking towards other people who have succeeded before him.
Well, I think you know, a lot of the property investment magazines, I mean, for $120 a year subscription or whatever it costs, I think you only have to learn one or two things from that and you've easily got your money back. So surprisingly, a lot of the property investment magazines, you know, if you know what I used to do every year, I don't do it so much now, but every year I used to get the rich list and I'd go through there and I'd look up every single person that was on the rich list due to property, you know, Google their name, look up, you know, interviews they've done and their background. And a lot of them had very similar strategies, you know, which is, you know, buy and hold rather than just buy and then quickly flip. It was buy and hold, you know, generate equity through renovations, refurbishments or a property that had a twist, and having a good team. So whether it's a solicitor, a property manager, an accountant, and that type of thing. And you know, I don't think you a person that wants to become an investor has to go on blind. They can look at other successful investors, see what their strategies are. There might be some things they don't agree with for whatever reason, but you will find a lot of successful investors do have very similar goals and ways they've managed to achieve financial freedom.
O'Connor would often even reach out to these individuals and take them out for coffee.
There has been two, and there was. I find, you know, typically the younger people, probably because they can relate to you more. But yeah, I've met with two people off the rich list in property, and it was more just it ended up being more motivational than anything. I didn't actually particularly learn, you know, any legal aspects or anything like that. But it was motivational, and I certainly believe in, you know, if you surround yourself with you know, driven people, that rubs off on you. And it's certainly something that I make sure that I'm always, you know, typically hanging around people that are pretty driven, you know, healthy, you know, like to enjoy life.
Reaching out wasn't as difficult as one might think.
The other thing is quite often people are willing to, you know, help out or give some snippets of advice. And, you know, it's not like you have to go out there and try find these investors at, you know, these successful business people at their homes. Quite often they're on LinkedIn. They might have a company website. You can email them. And you know, I've found when I am, you know, if it's something quite specialist, you know, it might be something like an engineering thing. It might be a new financial product that's in the market. Is just doing a blind email to an expert in that field and seeing if they're willing to give a bit of advice. And a lot of the time they are.
O'Connor shares some specific resources that he used to educate himself on his property journey.
Obviously, your own podcast, I've been listening to a majority of those that have come on, and there's certainly been some good information in there. I think, you know, a lot of the mainstream news media, I think it doesn't really go into much detail. But look, if I'm a little bit more academic, so I'll actually read through legislation that's passed through Parliament that's very specific to real estate and property and property management. And, you know, that's not for everyone. I'm not saying, you know, you should force yourself to read, you know, an hour's legislation every day in terms of new tax cases that have happened and new tax structures that have been found to be either good or bad by determined by the courts. I think it's very good to read some of the, you know, maybe the top 10 books in the library, which I certainly did. You know, maybe a property management book, maybe about accounting, certainly some legal aspects in terms of ownership structures, but also some motivational books. I found Richard Branson's autobiography quite interesting. You know, and that was, you know, he quite often used a lot of people's other money to create value and assets, you know, and hiring the right people was certainly something I learned from that. So, you know, it's good to know a little bit about everything, but I don't think, you know, you need to quit your job to really study it, because as long as you've got a generic overview and understanding of what's going on, you can always pay the experts to, you know, look through the sale and purchase agreement, you know, do your tax returns for you.
Here's some of the best advice Sam O'Connor has ever received.
Probably two parts. I think number one is being ethical and honest. You know, the world's a very small place now. And I think in the long run, being ethical and honest is always going to, you know, I don't think it's going to be any negatives from that. I think the second one is just reevaluating what your goals are, what you're wanting to achieve. You know, obviously I'm a big promoter of you know, creating wealth and freedom of time, so you can, you know, generate passive income so you can do what you want. But in saying that, you know, I've got friends or people that I've met over in places like Bali, for example, where, you know, they just love surfing or art, and they spend their days going surfing every day, and they live on $20 a day, but they're extremely happy, and they'll be able to do that forever probably. So I think it's important to do what you're passionate about, you know, and whatever that may be. But I certainly think property investment, because it doesn't take up a lot of time, if you outsource a lot of the work to property managers, for example, then you can still do what you're passionate about, but also create wealth and passive income.
Yeah, so true. I mean, like, that's the thing. They can surf and you know, have their property portfolio pay for their lifestyle as well.
Absolutely, yeah. And if they get a few properties, they can probably fly around to different countries around the world and check out different surfs.
He shares the personal habits he believes contribute to his success.
I suppose it's, you know, it's keeping healthy. I mean, it's pretty hard to keep driven and excited about life if you're not healthy. So certainly keeping fit and eating well. I think, you know, if you're able to research and you've got a real interest in learning, I've certainly found that's helped me, because without seeking more knowledge and learning, it can be very hard to move forward.
If Sam O'Connor could meet himself 10 years ago, he'd have this to say.
I probably would have said possibly take more risk. I think there's a, you know, I certainly held off a little bit in my earlier days in terms of investment. The trust has always been relatively conservative. But I think, you know, trying to say, oh, the market's going to drop for the next 3 months, let's hold off, and then you've missed an absolutely killer deal because it's sold and then the market hasn't dropped. So I think not being so risk averse. I certainly think, you know, getting that guidance from solicitors well before you begin. So it's a lot easier to, you know, have the right ownership structures from the place from the start, rather than, you know, buying a property in your personal name and then having to transfer it to a trust in 3 years' time, because then it's technically deemed a sale and there's capital duty gain and all sorts of different things. And I suppose just you know, remembering to enjoy the moment as well. So you know, not working yourself to death, and learning, you know, there is more to life than just business and working.
In the next 5 years, O'Connor is looking forward to seeing how changing technologies will open up new opportunities in real estate and investment.
Surprisingly, even though I talk about risk, I am quite risk averse. So, you know, investments for us is, you know, properties in good locations that have proven long-term growth with good demographics in that area. So, but I certainly see I certainly see potentially the desire for people that, you know, that that are working in offices now with technology the way it's going, that a lot more people might be able to work from home or work through virtual reality or 3D or whatever it may be. So I think there could be some potential where, you know, there may be a lot of office conversions into residential apartments or accommodation living. The other one I see is also boarding houses and shared accommodation. I think a lot more people, especially foreigners, aren't against the idea of, you know, having their own studio room, but with a shared kitchen and shared bathroom, which might be shared between 10 units or 10 studios, for example. And so I think there's going to be a lot more, of that type of development and investment. I mean, there's always the unknowns, which is the legislation. New Zealand, for example, they just banned foreign buyers last year from buying property. So there's unforeseen changes that I don't know about. But I'm reasonably happy with, you know, what's been proven over the last couple hundred years, and that's buying in good locations with you know, good demographics and good proven long-term growth. That's sort of what I'm focused on. And I think it is important to see what the trends are. But, if you start spending too much time thinking about what's going to be in the next hot thing, it's quite often unproven, and it may do really well, but it's unproven. And it may hurt you in the long run. And I think, you know, the prime example is people, you know, the hot thing a few years ago was mining, you know, and investing in mining towns. And, people go, we're always going to need steel and this and that. And, the interesting thing with a lot of the mining towns is quite often they've still got record output of production. It's just the infrastructure's in place now, so they don't need all the people, employ all the people to live in the area. So, I think if you, it's good to see what the trends are, but maybe don't put all your emphasis on what's the next big thing.
O'Connor Billy's luck, skill, and education helped him in his success.
I think luck's, if you live in Australia and New Zealand, luck always played a part, because you're born into a country where, you're living a reasonably good quality of life. I mean, it's quite easy to get access to schooling, healthcare and the like. So certainly where you're born, I think, certainly luck. In terms of my interest in property investment, it's a bit of both. I have studied it a lot, and done university degrees and the likes. But in saying that, what I studied for 4 years, realistically, if I probably sat down for 3 months or 2 months and read a whole lot of books and podcasts and different things, I would have picked it up in that amount of time. So certainly, there's been a little bit of academic, but I'm not good with numbers, for example. I'm not good with doing tax returns. So, I'm not very skilled in that regard, but I'm quite good in regards to, looking at areas which I know are going to be desirable, walking through properties, see what can be generated and value can be generated to that property through innovation. I think at the end of the day, there always is some luck. I mean, there's people that bought maybe 5 or 6 years ago and they've seen their property go up 50 to 100%. It didn't really matter where you bought. Around, say, Sydney or Melbourne 5 years ago, it's certainly increased. So there's certainly some luck there. With myself, I mean, I don't believe there's been massive luck, because my strategy has been pretty solid from the start. And that's that we buy properties in good locations that are cash flow positive and long-term buy and holds.
If you're interested in reaching out to Sam O'Connor for a coffee, here's the best way to do so.
Best to look me up on LinkedIn. So Sam O'Connor. Luckily, there's not too many people with the exact same name. I think there's 4 or 5. So I'm the best looking one on there. So if you just add me on there, I'm happy to help out, answer some questions, and certainly able to answer. My journey of what we've done in New Zealand, also what I've done in Australia, And you know, maybe put you in touch with some of the people I've worked with in the past as well, that, you know, buyer agents and solicitors and accountants. So yeah, that's the best way to contact me.
I'd like to say a huge thank you to Sam O'Connor for joining us on this episode of Property Investory. If you want to hear more about his journey, please visit our website at propertyinvestory.com.